Hello, everyone. This is Steve Adams, founder and CEO of Tiger Performance Institute. And this month, we're going to talk about an important topic. If you want to scale a company, if you want to get the kind of results that you're looking for and achieve the goals that you want to achieve, if you're going to do that, you got to execute. So today, we're going to go through the lesson entitled Execution, the Missing Link in Achieving Your Entrepreneurial Dreams. As a corporate banker, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of people who had a vision to create a better or new business. They all had passion for what they were doing. They had big plans that were reflected in their exclusively good news projections. Wink, wink. I'm kind of smiling there. In my experience, few ever achieved the full extent of their plans. In fact, most failed or just got by. It would shock you to know that 80% plus of businesses in a bank loan portfolio were average to failing. Another 15% performed impressively, and about 5% were simply amazing. I gather this statistic from my experience at working in three banking organizations in my 15-year career as a corporate lender and corporate and banking executive. Dan Kennedy, famed copywriter and marketing mentor to thousands of entrepreneurs, describes this pyramid of performance as showing up everywhere you look. In donor giving in most churches or organizations, in athlete performance in pro sports, and in buyers in a business customer list, it's the same thing over and over. A few people outperform and the rest just do average. It also shows up in income and wealth rankings worldwide. According to the Credit Suisse 2017 Global Wealth Report, just 0.07% of the population of the world, it's 36 million people out of, 8 billion people, have wealth greater than $1 million. Another 7.9% have between $100,000 and $1 million in net worth. And the remaining 91.4% of the global population has less than $100,000 in wealth. Okay, so you see this pyramid effect worldwide, and it shows up in so many other places. The causes for this distribution in business are numerous. Some businesses are just old, outdated, they failed to adapt, and they're just trying to hang on. Others have a poor business model that only provides a job to the owner. Others struggle due to intense competition that removes most of the economic profit or profit margin from the equation. And the owners simply don't have the foresight or the vision to get out of it and redeploy into something else. However, what I've found most frequently, and that is what I'm labeling the missing link, is execution. Webster defines execution as the carrying out or putting into effect of a plan, order, or course of action. In Larry Bossidy's book, Execution, he stated the failure to execute was the main reason companies fall short of their promises. It represents the gap between what business owners want to achieve and the ability of their organization to deliver it. Kind of rest on that. It represents the gap between what business owners want to achieve and the ability of their organization to deliver it. So in the context of this lesson, what do I mean by execution? Well, it's not only tactics, but a system of getting things done through questioning, interaction, analysis, and follow through. It's a way of integrating your strategy with reality. It's connecting the dots for your people so they see how your strategy and your goals connect and what the priorities are each week, each month, and each year. Okay, so let's dive a little bit deeper, more granular now, and get into the process of execution. The first step in developing an execution culture is to clearly define the direction you want to head and the ground you want to cover during any particular year. This assumes you've done the work of developing a great purpose or just cause. You've worked with your team to develop core values for the business, and you've developed your kind of your moonshot, your high, hard goals out 3 to 5 years. And based on having all of that work done, now you're in a position to build a goal stack for 1 year and down all the way to weekly type goals that I've talked about in prior lessons that I've outlined in our Get in the Zone online course. Okay. So what we want to do is build an annual plan that as a team, we go and attack. So let's talk about the annual planning process. Historically, in all of my businesses in the 35 years I've been in business out of college or in leadership roles I've played in nonprofits and others, I've required every leader to create their vision of a year. What are their revenue growth targets? What is their expected profitability level? And then you can do this for business units, for departments, whatever makes sense in your business, whatever organizing activity needs to be separated and isolated so that you can evaluate it. That's what you want to do. Well, what I would do is I would concurrently with my executive team, once I got bigger, including finance, we would develop our own plan and then compare it to the unit leaders. And then we would have these intense meetings where we would go through the two plans and agree on one plan for the next year. And this would happen in the fall, finishing up, I don't know, late November, early December. But at this point, we were not finished. An additional requirement was that our leaders had to then establish quarterly priorities like we do in our personal goal stacks that I teach, with certain benchmarks or metrics that they wanted to manage to for the quarter, okay? Our leaders then would ask their leaders within those units to set goals for each month and work toward them. And then this gave each month a specific focus to attack, okay? Now, I want to be careful here because all of this was filtered through a long game approach to business. We weren't making it life or death, win or loss with metrics and goals. They were our directional guides to keep playing the game the way we wanted it to be played. So it was about managing process and progress at the same time and adjusting based on real-time data as the year unfolded. Now, hear me now. I'm about results. We needed to hit goals, but you can be so focused on goals and declare wins that what you end up doing is playing a finite game, which I talk about in the book review this month. So we don't want to do that. We want to play the infinite game, the long game, and you can use these goals as a way to keep you progressing directionally toward them. Okay, the next step is to develop a scorecard, okay? Once you have all of this in place, the next step is to create a simple scorecard to track priorities planned against priorities achieved. Again, it's not with a win-lose mentality. It's to keep the vision progressing over time with a long-term orientation. This is tricky. It's a thin line between playing this way and the finite short-term thinking way of leadership. It's up to you as the CEO or owner of the business to keep it long-term. Developing a scorecard will take some IT work. It's best if the key numbers and other metrics can be established in a file and updated data can be pulled in automatically. If you can't do this, don't worry about it. Just keep it really simple. You know, this would be one instance where it makes sense to hire a part-time person to kind of pull it all together for you so that you can take action on it on a weekly basis, okay? And then as you get larger, you can automate it. All right, the next step in the process is to have milestone meetings. In my organization, the last company that I scaled that grew into a very large company, we had three milestone meetings in my business. Each was progressively more detailed and in some ways intense. The first was the weekly operations call. The weekly operations call is meant to focus the team on the truth or reality. Are issues turning up in the meeting or are your team members just telling you everything's okay? And the way to know is by updating the scorecard each week so that the facts don't lie. They have to be faced, okay? And we would always say facts are our friend. Also in this meeting, each person talks about their upcoming week, what the priorities are at the high level, and if they need help from anyone. This creates great communication and collaboration between team members. Issues are resolved faster, and hopefully you can improve just a little bit each week. When you add that up over 52 weeks, it covers a lot of ground for the year, okay? When you can get more sophisticated, you can color code performance to plan. So the last few years in my last company, we were able to get to the point where we could label things green, yellow, red, similar to what Alan Mulally, the CEO at Ford Motor Company, did when he turned around the automaker around the financial crisis and into the 2010s. Well, the monthly metric review is the next step in the milestone meetings. It's a simple analysis of the unit's actual results to budgeted results. In my last company, we would review each store's actual performance to the budget, income statement, and key controllable metrics that the manager had control over. And then we would hold a group call with the store managers and the regional manager, and the peer pressure of showing up, failing, or falling short was motivational enough to do their best work. I never embarrassed anyone. I never used this as a way to dress someone down publicly. Okay, I always believe you correct privately, you praise publicly. I just let the pressure of the group do the work. It's important to create safe places for people to share the struggles and ask for help if you want peak performance. Otherwise, they're going to hide, they're not going to collaborate, and you're not going to get the kind of performance you want. Well, finally, I would conduct quarterly business reviews with regional managers where we would do a deep dive into their business unit performance. We would discuss people issues, strategies, tactics used, and what the overall issues were in each store and develop action plans to overcome those issues. And this was done one-on-one. And I love these meetings. I look forward to getting on the plane and meeting and going through this with the manager and their regional manager because they were very safe, productive meetings. We also would follow this up, though, with a mastermind meeting where we brought all the store managers into a group setting in person, and then every one of them would have an opportunity over about a 2 or 3 day period to present their store. And I would conduct what's called a hot seat and ask them questions. Other managers would jump in and ask questions. They would help them generously. They would encourage them. And the best part was between meetings when they all sat together at dinner or at the bar and they would talk and help each other out. And there was a lot of gold in those interactions in between the formal meetings. And we did these 2 to 3 times a year. And we found that they were highly motivational, enjoyable, and they helped build team camaraderie and chemistry. Plus, they helped propel our business forward because no one, and I mean no one, wanted to show up to that meeting and not deliver on what their promises were to the team. So the bottom line here is that your intentions are insufficient to realize your vision. If you put a system of regular communication around your most vital priorities with accountability, you will find this missing link to your success. I saw it work for dozens of great companies as a banker. I've experienced it personally in my own business, and you can too. And so I leave you with this. Just simply go to work and build out something similar like this that will work for you and your team, and watch your productivity and your results start to compound and accelerate as you do. So good luck and enjoy this information. But like I've said before, no idea works unless you do the work. So go take action. Thank you. Have a great month.